art is being used to make a satisfaction of the bourgeois society for the rich and the powerful.
We come from a time, a generation, when what mattered in art was to be radical. Today, what the hell does radical mean?
My name is Ai Weiwei. I'm an artist and an activist. I'm a writer. I'm a documentary maker. But first, I'm a human being.
I'm Anish Kapoor. I'm an artist. And I live and work in the UK. We couldn't be more different, Wei Wei and I, in our approach to what we do. I'm much more interested in the esoteric, the poetic, the whatever else, all the difficult stuff.
Chinese artist Ai Weiwei is detained at Beijing Airport on Sunday. There's been no official comment from China's government.
Asking my release has become like an international movement, probably the biggest one ever, to trying to rescue an artist.
People in culture need to have a political voice. My art isn't overtly political in any obvious way. I hope it is in all sorts of underhand ways.
By 2015, I started a journey to making documentaries about refugees.
You're Syrian?
Yeah, I'm Syrian from Damascus.
Wei Wei and I decided together to make a walk across London. And we walked in sympathy, as if we were in refugee status ourselves.
I never think an artist is some specialist, but rather have a clear rationality and emotions. So these many issues can be discussed.
We identify in this question of how culture can bring change. That gives us a kind of brotherhood.
Anish.
Yes, my dear friend.
I'm very happy to see you.
And me too.
You always have this ability to use your media, your language, to have this shocking quality, to provide a kind of condition which is quite unease for audience. Tell me what is behind this work.
I feel that I truly, truly have nothing to say, but nothing to say, as an artist. Meaning I don't have some message to give the world. But I deeply believe that my intelligence, if it's anywhere, it's not here, it's here. And it guides me through my daily practice. I go into the studio every day and continue a process. In the last years, I've been drawn to primal sacrifice, meaning death and its origin. It has to do with some ritualistic original practice that I feel I've been working with for the last 40 years, since I became an artist. And of course, certain things are consistent. The color red, the idea that the two-dimensional world and the three-dimensional world are mixed with each other. So all these things come into play. And that is our voyage of discovery, isn't it? What I know, who cares what I know? I say fa to knowledge. We live, I suspect, in a post-knowledge era. Anything I want, I can get it on here in 3 seconds. So what do I need to know? My job as an artist is to de-educate myself and find a way to something that I haven't the faintest idea what it is. And I think that's a game we play with ourselves. I know you play the same game.
My case a little different is you mentioned the studio. You're working in the studio, but I don't have a studio. Mm. Mm. My studio is in airport hotel rooms or in the filming studio like this. Mm. Also, I don't have this kind of consistency as you have. Mm. You know, you work the certain materials, colors, and the language. Mm. Which clearly identify who you are. But my identity teared apart. You know, I grew up in China and spent time in the United States, went back to China, you know, decades, and did so many different professions. Finally, I still can be called as an artist. Sometimes they call me activist, but it doesn't matter. You know, it's, as you said, we have to dealing with daily matter. Mm. And for me, the moment is the past and it's the future. Mm. You know, the present situation is everything we have. Mm.
With your permission, Weiwei, I'll talk about how we first came to know each other. I was in Korea and I saw that you had made a kind of comic, in a way, dance performance to Gangnam Style, and as an act of protest at being under continued house arrest in Beijing. And I saw this and I felt deeply moved by the idea that a comrade, we had never met, but that a comrade could be incarcerated in this way. So I came back to London and I decided to do a Gangnam Style dance performance. All sorts of people in London came to my studio. The great young choreographer Akram Khan choreographed us and we did Gangnam Style for Ai Weiwei.
I think it's really brave, very, very touching.
Well,
because we are not doing just for each other, but rather to catch that spirit of a moment. Art cannot be easily erased by the superpower.
Exactly. So it points to various things. One is that visual culture, or let's say poetic culture, not just visual, whether it's theatre or whatever else, matters. Mm-hmm. That it matters to government. Weirdly, governments are afraid of what, if you like, poets think and how they put it in the world. The poetic act has such power to drive hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, to certain kind of conclusions about the state of being that we occupy. I feel this is the most important thing of all. And what it brings to the fore for us to discuss, perhaps, is this question of whether art itself is political or can be political, and what is its role in the politics of our time. Let's discuss this.
I think this is a very good topic, because very often we use the words political.
Yeah.
That only implied to a certain sense, and people would misunderstand, or it's misleading.
Yeah.
You know, so in my understanding, the intellect of any human being, if being expressed, has political in there.
Implications.
It doesn't matter it's abstract or just a sound or just music or even silent can be very political. Mm. So we would say any form chosen by a rational mind to decide a life behaving or expression is political to me. So that's why I cannot easily accept something is not political, because we're living in society. Any choice of being not political is a political choice. So in that sense, I think language itself is never neutral. It's always has its own content in there, unless you don't describe it. But if it's come from a human intellect, it has the message.
I suppose I feel, since I said I have nothing to say, then
that's a very political message.
I understand.
Because have the freedom of speech.
I understand.
And you're living in a democratic world.
Correct.
That is really, and you're an important figure. You know you represent so much help for young artists and all those people who love you. So they may misunderstand the sentence.
I understand.
Sentence. But I understand that your statement is like a very witty philosopher in the Orient.
Well,
you know,
it's naughty as well.
I know.
So, but let me just try and develop this a little bit. To think about it in this way, that art can have direct language to say, I'm making a comment about this or that or the other subject. The other way, of course, is that the political plays a role in what is not said or what is half said. So art has poetic and philosophical questions, but doesn't directly address political questions. It doesn't mean it's less political. It just means that it goes about it. If you like, if you're trying to catch your nose, you go it like this rather than like this. There are two different ways of doing it, of course. That's very Indian, by the way. But well, anyway.
But that very much depends. The nose is still there.
Quite right. Very good. So I think this is a kind of key factor about how we reach what in it could be dangerous. And yet, it's terrifyingly dangerous, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. So, both ways can be very dangerous.
Yes.
I think when you say the art is political, it can be very misleading and dangerous. And you see most so-called political art doesn't work because any message has to be carried out by the right language. And that language, we call it, is artistic.
So that's
practice.
Why I say the nose is to be reached this way.
But it's,
because this
but
it, is
but it's very fascinating if you reach your nose that way.
Yeah, you need long arms. So why can we call ourselves artists? It took me a few years to be able to say I'm an artist because what I do is wear a kind of cloak of responsibility. Nobody gave me that responsibility, but it's one I take. And I think it's that serious. So we can do this incredible thing, but it is a burden we carry, and we're a burden of like an idiot, you know. An artist is the archetypical fool.
It's all about identity. About self-identity or how do we think about ourselves or think about others, you know, because once we think about ourselves, we think about our relations to people who are different. Or do we really belong to the mass? If you're an artist, are you privileged or you're be more responsible in terms of free expression? You know, what you're really extend the concept of what is freedom and the free expression. I think those issues no artist can avoid it. Of course, you can fix in one point and one direction, but we're living in so much problematic time. Mm-hmm. It's overwhelming.
Maybe that is something we should discuss a little bit. The art world, our art world, is completely captured by the capitalist machine. We are not makers of luxury goods, but the art market, the art world, treats us as if we are makers of luxury goods. You know, Picasso said something wonderful, which I think about a lot. Painting is not decoration for your living room. Painting is war.
Yeah, no,
and I think that is,
he said that.
Yeah. And I think that is key. So we come from a time, a generation, when what mattered in art was to be radical. Today, what the hell does radical mean? It's really difficult. We live in a post-information, post-modernist, post-almost-everything age. When the idea of the new, the radical, that which is outside of the market system is impossible for us to even imagine. It is a terrifying state, I say. How can a thing that's radical be for sale? It's one of the problems that we suffer in the art world. For the Turner Prize, you know, this prize that's given in the UK now, there are five groups of collective artists. What that proposes is that art is a social medium which can bring social change and renewal. That, perhaps, is one way out of this capitalist takeover.
Well, that's a big topic.
Yes,
it's not only related to art,
of course,
related to
everything.
Today's corporate culture and the whole political situation, economic situation, they all being pushed by either classic capitalism or state capitalism.
Correct.
Or the new capitalism.
Correct.
We all know the world has new structures. You know, they're so powerful. They basically design our life, our behaving, our knowledge, education, and, of course, in general, art. Art is being used as decorative idea to make a satisfaction of the bourgeois society. And it's always being served as for the rich and the powerful. So I think it all depends on individual artists. It's not about what you sell. It's about the message.
Correct.
About, you know, you always can create your message.
I think it's time for question and answers. There's a lot to say, Weiwei, about what's just been raised, but let's hear this wonderful young person.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mpho from South Africa. Weiwei, my question really has to do with the sort of personal implications and anxieties, the sort of challenges of artists, especially in conflict-ridden situations or undemocratic contexts such as China. How do you balance that, you know, wanting to do the work but also being afraid as a person?
I thank you. I think the best balance is loosen balance. If you believe what you're thinking, what is meaningful about life, then you protect that value. And of course, it's very often it's losing balance because the reality, the rationality will stop you because you did this will affect too many things. Yourself, your relatives, and your friend, and your relations to the society. So I think if you think too much, then you cannot really act. I think especially when you're young, you should act in some kind of ridiculous way rather than to try to perform with some kind of elegance.
I think it's a beautiful question, really important, if I may. Mm-hmm. I'm from India, and I see that what's happening in India now is horrific, as you say, in many, many parts of the world, of course. Freedom of expression is not tolerated. Our greatest fear has to be self-censorship. It is I say this both in where it is free and where it is not free. Self-censorship says, close down that part of yourself that might risk taking part in something that somebody else will find controversial.
Anshra pointed out a very important thing is you have to believe you're better than them.
Yeah.
You may not win, you know. You may become a problem, but the ideology, still we have to believe in certain sense as a human being. So that will win.
My name is Isabella. You were speaking of capitalism and radicalism, and I would like to ask you, who would you say profits or benefits from your works?
Well, you see, the art world if I could start there, is not a straightforward place. The art world is the most unregulated monetary exchange forum there is. Best place to launder money you could imagine, frankly. But I think what we have to remember alongside that is that while artists make objects, the real purpose of objects is mythological. It isn't physical. And what the market doesn't fully get is this myth. You can't buy mythological propositions, but money is itself mythological. Imagine, just for a second, a Picasso on the wall, I come back to Picasso, worth 50 million, 150 million, or whatever number you want. Part of its mythology, when I look at it, is, oh, my God, it's 150 million. Oh, my God, it's not only a great painting, but it's also this mythological kind of value in monetary cultural terms. So art is always playing this double game. And I think who it benefits, therefore, is monetary on one level, but one hopes that its mythological repercussions go out there in all sorts of different ways.
Hey, hello, I'm Zhong Gusui. I'm from China. I have some question, two questions to ask away, actually. The first is, do you think that the COVID pandemic will affect the society or a sort of politics in China in a serious way? And the second question is, how do you think the young generation of artists will respond to the current moment in China in the years to come?
Yeah. How it would affect China? I think it would build the government much stronger. They have this health card or health... everybody have to have it. So that tells the government where you are, who you associate with, and where you bought your grocery, and you know which car you are, which transported you go from one place one to point B. So those made the government stronger with some kind of excuse, and that will be copied by the world, every nation almost. So the COVID totally changed our understanding about, you know, individual rights and the government's rights and how should we behave. And this is a very philosophical question. Actually, we will discuss it in a long time. Second, about the art, young artists in China, I think the problem is not the artists. Artists everywhere is an individual trying to express themselves. But the problem is the ceiling is so low, you cannot stand up. It just make you, if you want, you really want to act, you have to crawl or to, you know, everybody understands this. So that create very strange image of a Chinese artist because nobody can jump, nobody can fly. You just can have to crawl. And so there's a lot of brilliant artists with great skill and, you know, and very dedicated, devoted themselves to art, loves art. But you're in the wrong location, or you're in the right location. Then you have to defend your right, but that may sacrifice your life. So I cannot even give advice like this.
I mean, Weiwei, that brings a very interesting, very important question about being in exile.
Being exile is there's many writers or many people has been in exile. It's not started from one generation. I think exile history is as long as the human flow is whenever we had refugees, it could be exiles from any place, you know, and any place which is not safe. But then the question is, once you're exiled, you're pulled out from your ground, and what do you care, and your language, your sensitivity, all lost. You become a transparent number, and life has no meaning anymore. So that is a true challenge for any exiled individual. As an artist, by nature, we are a person who are lost. We choose to be lost.
We have taken all the dark parts of our environment and turned it into a nice little place in which everything is good, but actually it's the death.